The scripture reading for the lesson will be 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Well, thank each one of you for your presence this morning. It's indicative of your desire to go to heaven. I thought I had it. Thank you. I guess it's on halfway. That doesn't count, does it? Thank you. Again, we wish to thank each one of you for your presence here this day. We thank Brother Andrew for the reading there in 1 Peter. And you notice in your track that even parts of the lesson will be here. Sometimes the reading doesn't always comply, but that's good. We thank Larry for his prayer. I want to thank Trace for us getting together this week as we talked about speaking today. And he texted me back or something, and my phone doesn't do text. Or if you're not talking to me on the phone, you're not talking. So we got that straightened out that someone is on for today. But he says, you go ahead. And I didn't understand that or anything until I checked back with him. But anyway, second coming of Christ. The reading that was there already supports what the Bible talks about. Seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and being blameless. You know, in the Revelation letter, it talks about, in the very last chapter, it says, behold, he cometh with his reward with him, and he'll give to every man according to his work shall be. And we understand that when Christ comes, he's going to give to every man according to his word that shall be. That's kind of like the Ecclesiastes. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And we know God and Christ and the Spirit was there, have ever been, and they shall ever be. And so he mentions that I'm Alpha and Omega. He says, he that testified these things, saying, surely I come quickly, even so come Lord Jesus. The last words that Jesus spoke in the Bible, he said, surely I come quickly. And we ought to pray for the Lord to come quickly in a time when things are not so good, but we don't know when that time will be. All but four books in the Bible talk about the second coming of Christ. David said that his soul could rest in hope. And every one of us wants our soul to rest in hope when we change worlds. About 300 verses talks about the second coming of Christ. And so we need to understand that. In your songbook, there's about 100 songs about heaven itself. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. And that needs to be on our mind. Somebody said that there's four different classes of people that think about the second coming of Christ. There's those that don't even want to talk to you about it. When you talk to people about the Bible, and they don't always want to talk to you. But even as the end might come, you'd think about that. There's others that would deny it, that that's going to happen. Then there's others that are going to be terrified. They'll ask for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And then there's others that will say, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. And there's reasons we might say that in our lifetime. I had my Bible down here. I better get it up. In Romans, in Acts, the first chapter, in verse 9, as we have on the board, Jesus had already talking to them, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. We know in the second chapter he did. You're going to be witnesses of me, both in Samaria and Judea and other parts of the world. And it says, and while he had yet spoke these words, behold, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they were looking up as they saw Jesus going up to heaven. And it says that there stood two men by them dressed in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you unto heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up. So we learn from passages like that the Lord is going to come again in the clouds. In this ninth chapter also, he talked about the fact that those that would be scoffers in the last day, is this going to happen? Everything stays the same as it's always been, they say. But yet the scriptures tells us differently. The Bible says he'll come in clouds. What are you looking up to heaven for? He's going to come back that same way. So we want to look at some of the things where it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7, it says that the Lord shall descend from heaven and come down and with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Three or four things are going to come. He's going to come down his voice. The Bible says everyone shall hear him. Every knee shall bow. And he says the trump. We know what the trumpets are for. That will happen in everything. And so it says that every eye shall see him. Revelation 1 and 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And it says in every eye. That every eye shall see him. And lo, those also it says that that have pierced him, and all nations the earth shall wail because of him. At that particular time, in when the second coming comes in our lifetime, not necessarily our lifetime, but in God's dispensation of time, he said, every eye shall see him. I want to look at one thing just a minute. In 19 and 14, there's some people called by the name of Russellites. John Tanswell Russell started a religion that lasted about 30 years. And back in 1886, and so he said the Lord's going to come in the year 2014. You know, a lot of people got mixed up in the fact that they know when the Lord's going to come. And I even know a member of the Church of Christ that was a preacher that lost his job over the fact that he said the Lord's going to come by 2000 and something. It's just so clear in the Bible he says he's going to come. You know more than one thing about it. When they said that he would come in that year, they said that he did secretly come. The Russellites said he actually came that year. He did it secretly. But what does the Bible says? That every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, all nations, the world, will wail because of him. They'll see Jesus. When we come up from the grave, if we're in the grave, our eyes will see Jesus. And we'll bow in submission to him what he says. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, that didn't happen in 1914. You might as well just cross that out. But you know, their explanation was that sometime in a lifetime of a person that was born then or that was there then, and here we are 2017, you'd be 103 years old. He said within the lifetime of the people that might be born there, the Lord's going to come again. They tried to cover up their problems. In 19 and 16, that religion changed to some degree. They found out their policy. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses, which was this thought, my understanding, that the Jehovah's Witnesses started in 1916. They had a different edge on things. They say that the earth is not going to be burned up, or the things that are here. Christ's kingdom is going to be here. A lot of people say that. Not only is it a false thing to say that the Lord came then, but we don't know. Do you know the day, the hour when the Lord comes? In Mark, this 13th chapter, it says, no man knows the day nor the hour. And then it says, and not the angels, and not the Son, but my Father only. Who knows the day when? Is it a false thing that people can say the Lord's going to come? Christ didn't know. The angels didn't know. And the Father only. That day will come as a thief in the night, in which that the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Of course, these people that started this religion here, or a follow-up of that religion, they say that Christ is going to be here on the earth. He'll reign for 1,000 years and all kinds of religions like that. But this is just a little bit of what I've thought about in the study of the lesson, that the Lord's going to come. And they said, where's the promise of its coming? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again. That's his promise, that he'll come again and receive us and to himself. That's kind of an introduction of the lesson that we should speak about a little bit. And it'd be great if we could say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even as Jesus said his last words, even so come, Lord Jesus. But you know, there's reasons that we wouldn't want the Lord to come. Because most people is going to be lost. The Bible suggests that very plainly. And many sincere people think that if the seed was sown, if we're out there sowing the seed of the kingdom, that would have more response to people to obeying the gospel. And Jesus said, the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. We understand that when you see a field out there that's a big wheat field, and maybe 100 to 200 acres. You think how many men there would be out there as the binder would go along and would cut off the wheat and throw out little bundles on all those acres. Then men would come up and pick up those bundles and make a sheath here and cover it with two or three on the top. A little bit later, they'd come with the wagons and throw that on the wagon. Wagon, they take it over to the thrash machine. And we understand some of these things. And now we have a combine today that can do maybe one day what 200 people did back then in one day. We see how progress it is, but if more seed was sown, the ability for that word to get out there. In Luke, the 18th chapter, it says, when the Son of Man cometh, and that's Jesus talking, when the Son of Man cometh, will there be faith on the earth? And that's a challenge for each one of us. You know, we wouldn't pray for the Lord to come quickly. You know, if I was stealing something and I had it in my hands, and I wouldn't want to see the Lord at that time. I wouldn't want to see the Lord if I was cursing and using his name in vain. If I was gambling and taking something that's somebody else's, which is called legal in our state and all, I wouldn't be in adultery or anything else if the Lord comes, because we would be found wanting when we'd be weighed in those balances. A reason that I'd like to go to heaven is because it's like Paul, he was in a strait betwixt two in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. He has a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And my brother was that way. He was hurting so much in this life. Paul was suffering so much in this life that he wanted to go on and be with the Lord. But Paul said, nevertheless, it's better for you that I stay. You know, it's good for us if we have brethren here that can stand up for the truth and stay here. But when we want to go to heaven, we want to avoid hell and all that is there. And better yet, is the reason that I want to be with the saved ones of all ages, and maybe those that have gone on before that I've known. And we've known a lot of good, faithful people that's gone on ahead. And even a better reason than all of that is that I want to be with Jesus. For that's where he will be throughout eternity. Where he says, I'll wipe away all tears. There'll be a transformation that takes place, that this vile body, or this corruptible body, shall take on incorruption. This mortal shall take on immortality, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 53. There's a reason that I want to be and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because Jesus that made us, he's redeemed my soul and he's paid the price for that. The person that looks at death and you see maybe you're going to leave your loved ones and your mate. And I just knew at one time that I was going to, when I couldn't breathe any longer and finally got a little air through my system. But you hate to leave those that you're here with. You left them with a debt and you left them without your person. Romans 8 and 1 says, the gospel sets us free. If you're made free by the gospel, you're free indeed. That same chapter in verse 12, it says, we're not debtors to this life. We're not debtors here that we have to stay here any longer. And then Paul says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time, in that same chapter, verse 18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to me. You know, that glory of that last day, the Bible talks about seeing what in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about the suffering that Paul went through with, and he said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me. It's kind of like traveling through life, and you're ready to go home. I've talked to people, especially one man, that he's been every state in the Union. You know, he's been to the Grand Canyon and the Lookout Mountains and the Yellowstones and the Redwoods, Niagara Falls, and all those places. But you know, they can wear you out, but when this life is over, we're ready to go home. to go home and to be with God in heaven, where the streets of gold and there's a pure water coming from the throne of God. If I'm pushing buttons and stuff, I guess I am. I'm sorry. How do I change that? Oh, you got the controls. Good. It's nice to go home. We long and we crave to go home. Sometime we're homesick for heaven, we say. We say this word through song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And you know, this world is not a playground. It's a classroom. We have folks in this audience that are teachers. And I know there's several, especially back in the classes here, as well as school or a doctorate or whatever you have. You're teachers. And so it's good to be in that schoolroom of learning. And God would have us to do that. You know, there's some that's not ready, not fit for heaven. They not ready to face eternity. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, they grieved the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. He's given us the earnest of His Spirit. You know, we are to see on both sides, not only the things around us. We see the temporal things, but there are things eternal. And the scripture points out along that line that you can see the invisible. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw the invisible God. He even saw the backside of God. He was closer to the God than most any man has been. In Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 9, Abraham sojourned in a strange land with a dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob. And it says, for he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, in combat, and I know Richard has been there and other members of the church here have been there, and Jeff has, that you don't always find the things that you like there and you want to go home. Maybe you're in a foxhole and they tell you how you can dig a foxhole, and when you're laying flat on your stomach with a little shovel, you dig a hole there and you finally get in and you dig more and you can stand up in it. Sometimes you may almost freeze in that place, or there might be insects there. You're on sea rations, a lot of things, and you're longing to go home. And you know, when people do go home and they see the Statue of Liberty or the Golden Gate Bridge, and they think that that's a land of freedom, the immigrants that have longed even this present time to go home come back here where there's peace and freedom and liberty. And they do anything to come home where we live. And so the soldier does as he's looking for that time. You know, when the Statue of Liberty was built and then it was refurbished, and it took $66 million to redo that in 2 years. And when they finally had a rededication of that, they set off 40,000 tons of fireworks in a celebration, and people saw it over the land, and they looked at that as a place of freedom, and we do today. And you know, there's another place of freedom They had to pay a cost to have that Statue of Liberty brought here and refurbished. And so we also have a price tag upon the one that has redeemed us, even Jesus Christ. And oh, that we could see, that millions could see, that liberty that sets men free. And all he's asked of me is just a reasonable service. You know, if tomorrow were your last day in this life, there wouldn't be one person in this good audience that wouldn't want to do the very best he could. He'd want to think, is my heart right with God? It's kind of like Hezekiah. They're told he's going to die. And he said, get your house in order. And that's how every one of us would want to be if tomorrow were the last day. Every backslider would want to be at every service and be close to the God of heaven. All things, kinds of things would cease. And those that are insensitive to the gospel would show concern. The towns and villages could be like it was in Jonah's time when he went to Nineveh and told them in 40 days it's going to happen, and how that transformed all of those people. Up in the millions of people without a doubt, 120,000 that couldn't even read or write were saved at that particular time. And so there'd be meeting houses that'd be full, and the windows would be open, and people want to hear the gospel. They'd beg and plead to get into the kingdom of Christ. You know, but why shouldn't we start now as we journey life? Why should we wait? Several songs point out, why do you wait, dear sinner? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power unto salvation. We spoke a minute ago. They said, this world is not my home. And it isn't. It's not a playground either. It's a schoolroom. It's where Jesus is teaching us and standing up before us and telling us. And each one of the teachers here this day was like transferring the message of Jesus. And he tells us to hear him. A voice from heaven said, hear ye him. Is there anyone more that we ought to hear? He tells us what's going to happen in the future. And so when we're listening, we believe and know about him. We have faith in him. And we know that in this classroom of teaching, he tells us what we're doing wrong in this life. And that we need to repent and make a change in that. If I've lied in the past, or maybe almost lied, or kind of had a half lie, or if I've stole some goods, or whatever it might be, or if I said a bad word, I only remember saying one bad word in my life, what I call a bad word, and my brother had hit me and a word came out. That's how the devil works, you see. So we do need to repent, every one of us. And then we need to confess the great teacher that he is the Son of God, like Peter did, and make acknowledgement of that while we still have that opportunity at all. There are three things I'm concerned that each one of us are convinced of, that Jesus is coming. I go to prepare, I'll come again. He's going to be the judge in that last day. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, it says, the Father judgeth no man. All judgment is left to the Son. And then he's going to reward every man according to his work shall be. The Bible talks about making our hearts right with God. Don't let it be hard, maybe soften to that gospel call. And so even as the invitation is offered at this time, may we realize there's a great day coming. While together we stand and sing. If you're subject to the gospel in any way, let it be known. While together we stand and sing.